We've just caught up with Benjamin Beilman, who's just played the Higdon Violin Concerto. That was quite wonderful.
Thank you. It's a bit of a relief to be done with this. This is probably, I'd say, the most challenging concerto I've ever tackled. Technically, it's designed to be the most pyrotechnically mesmerizing. I think, from what I understand, Jennifer wrote this concerto for Hilary Hahn about 5 or 6 years ago. And with each draft that she sent to Hilary, I believe Hilary went back to Jennifer and said, you know, you can make it harder. It should be harder. You know, please challenge us. Challenge me. And so now, you know, of course, Hilary has flawless technique and is sort of the ideal in terms of technical assurance. And so now we're stuck with whatever Hilary can do.
That's great. Well, I understand that you have a long relationship with this concerto, because when you were a student studying at Curtis, this concerto was also being developed.
Exactly. Before the final draft of the concerto was published, Hilary, Jennifer, and the Curtis Orchestra workshopped this piece, just sort of to get a sense of balance, what type of pacing things worked, what didn't work. And I was actually sitting at the very front of the second violin section. I was principal second violin. I think this was my second year at Curtis. I was 18 years old. And so I got to see firsthand Jennifer's ideas about the piece, you know, from the very initial stages of this piece. And so I got to see it workshopped. I was also a part of the premiere performance in Philadelphia. Hilary gave it with the Curtis Orchestra. I believe it was in 2010 or 11. I forget which year. I've been a part of a performance as a part of the orchestra, and now I'm sort of coming full circle and playing the solo part.
How does that experience in its development inform how you play it as a soloist?
Undoubtedly, it gives you a behind-the-scenes look at everything. You know, one of the benefits of working with a living composer is you can ask Jennifer the questions that you have about, you know, did you really mean this? What is this phrasing? What is this articulation? You know, do you prefer this sound or do you want that sound? And so having seen a performance, you know, from the orchestra side, seeing Hilary do it, I know, you know, I obviously admire Hilary's playing immensely, but as your own performer, I know certain things that I wanted to do differently even back then. And so I think that this is probably the most well-rounded approach I could possibly have to a concerto. I've seen it from all possible angles at this point.
And it's so interesting because it starts out so quietly and there are very delicate moments, and then it's spiky, and then it's exuberant. It really runs the gamut.
Absolutely. This is such a uniquely well-crafted concerto. I mean, as you just talked about, it opens with these harmonics, which are almost so foreign to the violin. You know, you think of other great violin concertos, the Brahms concerto, it opens with this almost gypsy, devilish run that really sinks into the lower register of the violin, and the Tchaikovsky starts on the G string, and Sibelius starts, you know, on the A string, kind of glowing, but nobody, to my knowledge, has started with harmonics. This is meant to sound as if it's not coming from the violin. It's a ethereal sound, and it sort of draws the listener in a very beguiling way, I think.
And what are you thinking about as you play this? There's not a narrative per se, but there is an arc to it.
Absolutely. Musically and emotionally, it's paced very well for the listener. I have to say, for the performer, it's freaky. It's scary to start with harmonics. You know, when you, as a violinist, harmonics aren't the hardest thing to play, but to shape them and phrase them and make the tone of a harmonic really exactly what you want, that's a technique that very few violinists even think of, actually, when they're really coming up as students. And also, once you start in the more typical, traditional tone of the violin, she actually sends you into the stratosphere very, very early on. So you really have to be so relaxed and so sure from the very beginning of the concerto. There's no time to warm up, really.
And when you say harmonics, physically, what are you talking about?
Harmonics on the violin are when you don't press your finger down entirely on the string. And so what you're doing is you're engaging overtones of the string. You're dividing the string in half and you're getting it to ring in a very different way. And so you hear pitches that are many octaves above the actual finger note that you're playing. So it has this sort of almost like whistling type of sound.
So what part is the most challenging for you, or is it challenging just to stay focused throughout?
Probably pacing. I think it's so technically demanding that you really have to be aware of your body and make sure that you're not allowing yourself to tense up in the most difficult spots. You really have to consciously relax yourself and breathe when you have moments to breathe, because it's so relentless. I mean, even in the slow movement, even when it's in its most delicate, it's also at its most fragile. And so you're really walking on eggshells sometimes. And the last movement is entitled Fly Forward. It's meant to be this kind of perpetual motion. There's no breathing space. There's no stop. You're just completely running the entire time. And so it's really about mental concentration and relaxation.
I understand the cadenza is pretty difficult.
Yes. And I have to say, when I first, you know, fortunately, I've been able to play this for Jennifer a few times to get her insights into the piece. And so when I first played the cadenza for her, she politely basically told me that I had it all wrong. I was trying to make it all musical, and I was trying to shape it and alter the different pacings and give us some breathing room and respite. And she said, I understand what you're doing. You're being, you know, a very good musician, but don't do that. You have to race through it. It has to be the most terrifying thing. You have to leave the audience thinking, oh my God, he's going to break his instrument. It is about to fall apart. Something is going to snap. And then only after that does the end of the first movement make sense. It's this sort of almost prayer reflection section. And so the cadenza is exceptionally difficult. It's probably one of the hardest licks I've ever had to play, but it's now probably one of my favorite parts of the concerto, because there is a sense that you don't have to hold anything back. You let loose, and you're supposed to. And that's the only way that that section of music lives.
So you played it with the Curtis Orchestra when you were a member of the orchestra. Did you think about ever playing it as a soloist?
Yes. I mean, back then I didn't know that I would be playing it with the Philadelphia Orchestra, but I definitely saw it as a piece that should have more performances than just the premiere and the few performances after that. I think the sign of a great concerto is that you immediately have your own opinions about the piece. You know, it begs to be interpreted in different ways. It's not designed to be for one soloist. It's designed to be for the next generation of violinists to come.
And for this concert this weekend, it seems that there was also an emotional component, because there's this strong Curtis connection, and you've known each other for a long time. You've known Jennifer Higdon a long time, and I guess Robert Spano as well. So was there an emotional component as well as a musical component?
Of course. I confided to Jennifer after the performances, of course, that actually this is the very first time that I was nervous for a rehearsal with an orchestra. You know, usually when you show up to rehearse with an orchestra, there's no expectation. But because, you know, I was a Curtis student and I got the comp tickets where you're sitting up in the whatever, the third tier, basically on top of the orchestra, gazing down. I remember so many concerts in Verizon Hall. And, you know, of course, there's that pressure, there's that history, that tradition that affects you when you first walk on stage. I look around the orchestra and I see all the professors at Curtis, you know, all the people that I, you know, would have coachings with, and they're playing many of the solo lines with me in the concerto. So of course there's an excitement, but there is also a pressure. There's this idea that I have to perform. These are the people that I've received guidance from for the last 6-7 years.
Well, it was a wonderful performance. We look forward to many more.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.